Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcasts12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcasts12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcasts12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome to What's Eric Eating? Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. Before we get into today's show, I just want to thank all of you who sent me nice comments about last week's mailbag episode, especially all the nice things you had to say about Emily Cotton's contributions. So this was, I declare this a successful experiment. We will try it again. It will not take another 500 episodes to do a mailbag episode, but maybe we'll put it to bed for 6 months or so, and then it'll come back around. It'll come back around in April or May, just in time for my birthday. That'll be a good as good a reason as any to have a mailbag episode. All right, today on the show we will have a conversation about some news in the world of Houston restaurants, as well as our meals at a couple of Houston restaurants you may want to try. To do that, I am joined by my co-host this week. She's a former food critic who is now the director of events for Local Foods Group, the hospitality group behind Maximo, Milton's, and Local Foods. Chelsea Thomas, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm so good. I'm so glad to be back as well.
Yes, I'm delighted to have you. Let us dive right into the news of the week. Topic number one, bit of a sad one. Kim San, the pioneering Houston restaurant that serves both Chinese American and Vietnamese fare, has closed its location on Jefferson Street in Edo. It's worth noting that Kim San had been part of the neighborhood for more than 40 years and had been in that building since 1993. Chelsea, I don't know that there's too much to say about this, but this is a restaurant that I have a lot of memories of, so. But you're the guest, so I'll let you go first. Do you have any fond memories of meals at this Kim San?
I think, to be honest, I've only eaten this Kim San twice. Mostly it lives in my mind as a building when I was younger and I'd be going downtown to go to a concert at the Engine Room or the Meridian. And I was like, there's that mysterious building, because I was 16 and didn't know any better. But I've eaten at, I think I've eaten at every Kim San location in Houston, because I know there was one in Sugar Land, and I believe that one has closed. And then I've eaten at this one. I've eaten at the Megaplex one in Chinatown as well. And it's gonna be sad that this isn't anchoring that little corner of downtown anymore. But I know that entire area is going to change. So this is just this is one of the many fallen soldiers to come.
That's right. That's true. Right. Essentially, you know, we know that the massive I-45 expansion project is in its very early stages. Ultimately, it will reroute what is currently the Pierce Elevated to run parallel to I-10 and then down along 59 between the existing highway and St. Emmanuel Street. So everything between the current highway and San Emmanuel is going away. And that's Kobo's, that's Little Woodrow's, that's Huynh, which we'll dive into in just a minute. But for our current purposes, it's Kim San. And it's so funny to me that you say that you noticed the building even as a teenager, because on some level, it's kind of what we think a Chinese restaurant should look like.
Right.
Like
the vernacular,
the pagoda
of it.
Shape, the lions, the dragons, the whole thing. This may be like an age gap thing, or maybe just like my family's a little different than your family kind of thing. I have had so many meals at that Kim San, and a lot of them go back to, you know, even when I was in high school and college in the 90s, you know, my father, may he rest in peace, had a deep affection for Chinese American food specifically, and he loved a lunch buffet. And so back in the day, Kim San, you know, they have that massive banquet room upstairs. And during the week at lunchtime, they would serve a buffet. And so it wasn't unusual for me to meet my father for lunch and, you know, go through the line and get like, you know, half General Tso's chicken, half Kung Pao chicken, a cup of wonton soup, a little fried rice, you know, heaping plate, $7, $8, whatever it was, you know, prices that are unfathomable now for the amount of food that we were served. And then when I moved to Edo, or excuse me, when I moved to Third Ward about 5 years ago, it became like Kim San became one of my closest options, delivery options. And so it is, I don't even want to look at my Uber Eats history and tell you like how many times I've been like, what I want for dinner tonight is a quart container of their incredible wonton soup. And then their grilled beef, spring rolls, you know, and like a cup of fried rice, you know, like that's the closest thing that I have to girl dinner is, Chinese, Vietnamese appetizers for dinner. Like that's my version of that. And so, you know, even, you know, when I graduated from college from University of Houston downtown in 2012, the ceremony was at Minute Maid Park. And there were like a dozen of us that had gone to the thing. And so where did we go? Like, where could you go? You know, we all went to Kim San, obviously, because it was perfect for a group and we could feed a crowd for not a ton of money. So I'm going to miss this restaurant for so many reasons. And you know, I was talking about this on Facebook, you know, and someone said, oh, well, you can just go to the one at Bel Air. It's like, well, yes, like I could, but that does not solve my, it's Thursday night, I don't know what I want for dinner, give me the wonton soup problem, right? Like that, it's not an acceptable solution to that. So yes, I probably will go to the Bel Air location more often. I've missed the dim sum, right? They did the dim sum at the Stafford location that closed, as you mentioned, a few years ago. They moved that to Bel Air. I still haven't been in to try it. So one of these days I'll fix that. But this is one of those that hits home, even though it Kim San is never going to be on anybody's list of the best Vietnamese restaurants or the best Chinese restaurants, but it was very useful. It was very convenient. And so for those reasons, I'm going to miss it dearly.
Well, I think it's also about like our nostalgia for this changing landscape of downtown. Like, I mean, you think about what all exists in that little strip between the highway and San Emmanuel. I mean, even though it's not open anymore, the sort of iconic Lung Sing supermarket is going to go away. As we mentioned, Wynn, which I don't know if I can like physically talk about without crying and or like having to take multiple pauses, because that restaurant means so much to me. Or even Kobo's, like, what if you're an Astros fan, like that place is incredible and legendary and so fun. Or Neil's Bar, or there's multiple breweries. I mean, and I think it's just one of those things where it's like thinking about that section of downtown without that building or without the old original Chinatown of Houston is like, oh, yet another area that Houston is going to characteristically pave over, because why we don't need these historical buildings or these spaces or these long-term businesses, you know, we need this freeway. So it's just part of that whole, I think, this like early grief for a lot of those spaces.
Yeah. And that's a good point, right? This neighborhood is Houston's original Chinatown. And obviously we've evolved, right? You know, Chinatown moved to Bel Air. Now we have multiple Chinatowns, if you think about everything going on out in Katy. And then there's a whole cluster of restaurants in Sugar Land even that could be considered like a third Chinatown. So it's not that we are losing the food or the experiences. It's just that neighborhood has changed dramatically. And this highway construction is going to change it again. And even if, you know, from a transportation perspective or whatever, I mean, the Pierce Elevated is a nightmare. And the way that it cut Midtown off from downtown had a lot of other unintended negative consequences. So, you know, losing the Pierce Elevated is not bad, but it comes at a huge cost. And so, you know, we've already seen, we saw Agricole Hospitality pull out of Edo with Highway Cantina and Vinny's. I know Seaside Poke is closing. Neil's Bar moved to be a little bit closer to Nickel City. Like it's kind of just down the street from Nickel City now. And so like, you know, I don't know like what happens to, you know, a comedy club like the Secret Group, you know, or Warehouse Live or some of these other places that are right on the border, you know, Eighth Wonder Brewery, you know, it's going to be tough for them because this project is going to take a long time. And then the only good news about Wynn, right, is that they have leased a new location, right? They have claimed the old Sonoma space on Richmond near Kirby. And so at some point, we're going to lose the original Quinn, which is painful because, I mean, for so many reasons. And then they'll move to Upper Kirby. And we just have to hope that, like, those River Oaks and West U people get it, right, and appreciate what makes that restaurant special. Because the moving is not guaranteed to, like, sustain the business.
I feel like they'll get it because what makes Wynn so special? One, I hope they retain the BYOB aspect of the restaurant because that is so fun. But also, I think one of the best things about Wynn, obviously the food's delicious, but it's just like the service you get there, the warmth, the hospitality, the family restaurant feel that you get from all of the servers and the owners that are always there. I think that that's something that any area of town can appreciate for sure. And it doesn't feel like a place that's like just opening and they're like, yeah, we kind of have some people here. The owners aren't really active. We're just sort of another random place. Like it feels a little more intentional. And I think that that will be a great boon for them in that area. I certainly will be stopping by as often as I can.
Yes. And then the only other piece of this is that the Law family, which owns Kim San, has said that they do own some property in this kind of East Downtown area that could become a new restaurant, but they're going to kind of sit tight for a little bit. Let this initial phase of the construction play out and then make a decision. So now, you know, the Bel Air location is the only one. And there's not a clear timeline or even any certainty that they will return to East Downtown. So, like I said, this one stings. Welcome to 2025, right? You can't always get what you want, Chelsea.
Yeah. And those Edo realty prices, are they going to go up or are they going to go down? Stay tuned. We'll see.
Right. All right. Let's move on to topic number two. Dallas-based Lombardi Family Concepts, which we know for their Lombardi Italian restaurant in Uptown Park, as well as Toulouse Cafe in River Oaks District, is opening Maison Chinois, their contemporary Chinese restaurant in the River Oaks Shopping Center. This is a very upscale take on Chinese cuisine. It's known for things like Peking duck, a whole range of dumplings that they make in-house, fried lobster, and dishes like that. Chelsea, I don't know. We've seen kind of this upscale Chinese restaurant before. I mean, you know, I think about Cafe Ginger, which had been part of the River Oaks Shopping Center until they built that big tower where his auntie is, and so moved down the street to West Gray and Dunleavy. So on some level, it kind of makes sense that like somebody else is going to try this in the center because it did have a history of having this kind of restaurant. But I also think about the rise and fall of Benny Chow's, and I wonder if, like, maybe if our civic taste in Chinese food has changed to the point where, you know, we want the kind of Chinese-owned, like, Sichuan-style places like Mala or Duck and Bao or even Funk's Kitchen, and we as a city are less concerned about like a really posh dining environment to have it in.
Well, I know that there are definitely certain groups of people in Houston that are very concerned with posh dining, which bless them. But I think it's interesting that Maison Chinois is kind of the same, I don't know, idea as a restaurant like maybe Le Colonial in the River Oaks district, where you have this like French sounding name, but oh no, it's a Vietnamese restaurant or it's a Chinese restaurant. And I think 3,700 square foot restaurant with a 900 square foot patio. Wow. As a restaurant person, I'm like, oh my God, I think I would have a heart attack if someone gave me a space that big, but some people can handle it. I don't know. I think it's interesting that they got this chef from the Wing Lei at Wynn, and he was at the Hakkasan Group in Miami and LA. These are like big, flashy, vibe dining restaurants. So I think if anything, this is maybe either going to prove if vibe dining is alive or dead in Houston. Because it seems like, yes, it's an upscale place, you know, but is it going to feel more flashy than it is substancey? I guess we'll see. I think that a lot of restaurants from restaurant groups from out of town come into Houston. We're a big market. We're a very excited dining market. People here love to eat, but I think sometimes people think they could throw any restaurant in Houston and it works. And it's like, we're a little kooky here. So you never really know.
We're a little more discriminating. You can't just throw any old, you have to impress us. You have to, you know, tell us you love us and how special we are.
We have to be very special. Yes, we are.
I will say La Colonial is the best case scenario for Maison Chinois. If it does mm-hmm. for contemporary Chinese food, what La Colonial does for Vietnamese fare, where if you like Huynh, like you're probably not going to La Colonial, but the flavors and the preparations and all that stuff is well executed. You know, that mm-hmm. was frankly the problem with Benny Chow's, is that they had the right idea and the room was beautiful, but the execution was inconsistent or not maybe in a line with their aspirations. And so if Maison Chinois can execute, you know, maybe it hits. Like it, you know, it is the kind of place that should be a good fit for people in River Oaks. You know, and I like Lombardi fine. I'm not a Toulouse person, but there is no arguing that that has been an incredibly successful restaurant. You know, that patio is basically full all day in almost any weather. And so like they understand the service side. They understand how to give people what they want. If they can do that at Maison Chinois, then they'll probably be just fine.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily like a competition for Cafe Ginger, because even though Cafe Ginger is nice and a little more upscale, I feel like that has been so ensconced in the neighborhood for so long. People use it more like how you use Kim Song, right? It's like, I'm going to get takeout. I'm going to grab something. I'm going to swing by. I'm comfortable with this place. It's maybe like, obviously I'm sure there are some people who are like, oh, let's go for a night out here. But I don't think it's in the same maybe category mentally, you know?
No, I think that's fair. I think, you know, it's going to be right near Zanti. It's going to be across the street from Kikoti. I mean, obviously nothing is touching Brasserie 19, right? That place is rock solid. Good Company Kitchen in Tina that just opened earlier this year. That's a different craving. So, but I don't think it's unreasonable to think that diners might be choosing like, oh, do you want Italian or Chinese tonight? And mm-hmm. then they kind of go Zanti or Maison Chinois, just depending on what they're craving. And Maison Chinois's ability to like have good cocktails, have a nice dining room, deliver a good service experience will be the thing that guides people towards making that decision when it's time to make it.
Yeah, I think also, obviously, there are a lot of upscale restaurants in this particular shopping center. And, you know, some of them are busy, some of them are not. But I think it's interesting that these kinds of places kind of keep going in that area, because even though it's called the River Oaks Shopping Center, there isn't like an insane amount of shopping to do there. It's actually like, I feel like it's more restaurants and the berries, but so
There's
I
Sherwood
don't,
Tob. I don't
there's
I mean
Sherlock,
I
I mean,
there's
yeah,
a
there's
there's a there's
Sherlock
a really
Tom.
cool store with like antique maps and stuff that's in there. I don't know.
I do like the antiquarium. Obviously, I go to Sur La Table, but then it's kind of like here's a Sunglass Hut, or like a couple like there's isn't there a White House Black Market or something? It's
That
like a kind
sounds
of
right.
it's kind of a mix, you know? And so I'm like, okay, you keep putting these expensive restaurants in this place. What is bringing people over here for this very expensive place? Is it just the proximity to River Oaks? Is it just the proximity to, I don't know, kind of being able to get there from downtown from Memorial or Allen Parkway? You know, I think it might be a little like, I feel like we're like stuffing too many clowns in the car, as it were. Like, I think there needs to be maybe a little bit of reflection of like, do we need another expensive place over here near the Barnes and Noble, you know?
Right. And I don't want to predict anybody's downfall, right? But
No.
with Perry's and Leo's and Cocody and
Right.
Brasserie 19 and Zante and Kitchen and Cantina and Hudson House and Maison Chinois and
See?
Pisana, whew,
It's a lot.
it's a lot. It's a lot. And we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But I'm intrigued by this because I do like a fancy restaurant and I do like Chinese food. So I will certainly try this and report back. All right.
Well, yeah. Maybe we can go check it out.
Yeah, we'll go together. That'll be our next one. That'll be our next
There we
meal
go.
together. All right. And then finally, I don't want to dwell on this too long, but topic number three, San Antonio-based Merit Coffee is finally coming to Houston. They have leased two spaces. One is the former Starbucks at the corner of Buffalo Speedway and West Park. The second is in a New Heights development near MKT that is currently under construction. Both of them will open next year. Chelsea, I have to say, I am not a big coffee guy. I haven't been to San Antonio and drank Merit Coffee, but I feel like maybe you have.
Big coffee guy over here. Huge, absolutely giant. I have had Merit Coffee. I haven't had it in San Antonio, but I've had it at coffee shops that source their beans. I've had it just from the bag. I think it is, and this is maybe a little too inside baseball-y, but it reminds me a lot of the third wave coffee shops that are very popular in Austin, like Houndstooth, Fleet, and Flat Track, this very design driven, hip but self-aware kind of place. Like, it's not quite like Joe's Coffee, which opened in the Heights, where it's like hip but feels kind of hokey. It's more hip but feels like we're like, but we, you know, but we've read books on how to make design good. I don't know what I'm saying right now, but you get it. It looks nice, it feels nice, they've put a lot of thought into it, and I do love a design driven coffee shop. I can't help myself. It's a little catnippy for me. You know, a lot like Catalina, which is my favorite coffee shop in town. So I think that this is fun. I'm excited about it because it's going to be near West U, which is close to one of Local Foods restaurants, Maximo, and that, you know, I can pop in there on my drive in from the suburbs and grab myself a coffee, which I would really appreciate. I mean, other than maybe stopping at Cavo or Biddy and Bo's, or like just going over to Ella at Mercado, which is just around the corner from Maximo. I love a coffee shop. I will go to anyone, anywhere close to me. So I think the locations they've chosen are interesting. The West U one, I feel like that'll be good. That has some traction. The Heights one,
The Heights is Houston's most caffeinated neighborhood, and it's so hard. Even at,
Yeah.
MKT has the La La Land Kind
Yeah,
Cafe
La
in
La
it.
Land.
So, but this development will have other businesses, and so it'll be part of that. Like, it may just, and there's so many apartments around there. I tend to think it'll be okay. But yeah, the Heights is, I mean, Boomtown tenfold.
I mean, to
Jane
be
and John
fair, they are,
Doe.
some of them are kind of far apart from each other.
Yeah.
Fair. But it's like, oh, another coffee shop in the Heights.
Yeah, okay. There's one going in. There's one going in where the Good Dog was. I was driving down Studewood
Oh my gosh.
over the weekend, and
Right
I
near
saw a
Joe's?
sign that said, "Yeah, right down the street from Joe's." It said, "Coffee and cocktails coming to that space." So,
Okay.
no shortage of choices in that neighborhood. But I'm with you. I mean, I like a designy coffee shop. I like a place that you can kind of sit a while and maybe get a little work done or have a meeting with friends. When I want like an under the radar coffee shop to have like a conversation with someone where I don't necessarily want to run into people I know, I tend to go to Black Hole. It's because it's just far enough out of the way that you probably won't run into people, but that's neither here nor there. So yeah, I'm intrigued by this. They have a great reputation. They have 13 locations in San Antonio, Austin, and Dallas. And so, we're due. It was time. Bring it on.
Yeah, I think the only thing I could see this maybe competing with, like vibe wise, is maybe like Wolfsmith's. It does have a very Wolfsmithy kind of design feel, but I don't know. I like coffee. I'll accept it. I'm excited.
All right. Then I'm going to say that does it for the news of the week. We'll be right back with our restaurants of the week. Stick around. Chelsea, for our restaurants of the week, we're doing something a little bit different. I came out to Cyprus and had dinner with you last weekend. So you got to pick. We went to a seafood restaurant and then we went out for dessert. So let's start with the seafood restaurant. It is Vida Mariscos. It is from the same owners as Los Cucos. They have a couple of locations of this around town, but I don't know. Start at the beginning. Tell me why, of all the places that we could have picked for dinner, you picked Vida Mariscos.
Well, to be fair, I picked it because this is one of the first restaurants I went to when my boyfriend and I were first dating. And I love Mexican food. I love Mariscos restaurants. And also, I think just the atmosphere of this place is obviously very over the top. And there's a lot going on. It's a bit chaotic, but in like a balanced kind of way, in a harmonious way. And also the food's really good. So I thought it would be a fun place to go. I know that the food's good and I knew that we could just enjoy ourselves before we capped off our night with our little cherry on top that we'll talk about later.
Right. I mean, yeah, you said there's a lot going on. Frantic is the word maybe that comes to mind. Big restaurant, right? You talked about you talked about 3,700 square feet feels big. This is probably twice that, or maybe even a little bit bigger. Hundreds of people eating, big bar area, lots of TV showing sports. I did like a rough kind of scan around the dining room. I think I saw like a dozen different mariachis like making their way through the dining room, performing for people. There was a photographer taking pictures of people for some reason, like cell phone cameras don't exist in 2025. And the menu was huge, right? Hundreds of items. Every possible permutation of fish, shellfish, beef, chicken, all available, separately, a la carte, in combos, on sizzling platters, in sizzling bowls. Trying to sort it all out was a bit, it's hard to know but we had your guidance. And so we settled on a shrimp aguachile, a ceviche, and then like a mocajete, right? With beef fajitas, chicken fajitas, shrimp, grilled cheese, cactus, and salsa, I think, served with flour tortillas. The ultimate combination.
Did you take a breath while you were saying all of that? Oh my gosh.
It's a lot. I've been thinking, I'm prepared. I was thinking about this a lot. All right. So, I don't know. Like, I guess like I was relatively impressed by this. I mean, I haven't been to Los Cucos in a while, but I think well of it. And this was pretty consistent with my experiences at Los Cucos.
Yeah, I mean, I think the ceviche they have there and the aguachile is great. It's super spicy if you want it to be, which I really appreciate. It's very fresh, vibrant, like a lot of acid, which I love. And then the mocajete obviously is like a giant, ridiculous thing. I mean, I've I get those at restaurants here sometimes, but you know, like a lot of them I've had in Mexico City, and they display all the meat over the side of the molcajete. It's very hot. There's an amazing salsa inside. The panela cheese is melting all over everything. And that's just, I think the idea of the restaurant is it's just like everyone in there is there to have fun. And I feel like, you know, you're talking about this person walking around who's a photographer. Like the only time I've ever had that happen to me, I'm in Vegas, right? There were parties there. I think there were a few tables set up in the center with tablecloths and balloons, and they had like fancy napkins somehow. So it's just like, I think you go in there and everyone's like, we're having fun, and you should too. I don't really care if you're just here for like, you can't come here for a quiet dinner. It's not really what we're doing here. Okay, we're here for a loud, fun dinner.
Yeah,
So.
and let me just say, I mean, the service was great, right? Like our server, kind of fussed over it. Like, to be clear, like this is one of those rare times when I get to just dine like a normal person, right? This we were there was no recognition, no, and that was completely fine, right? But just, usually we talk about like, oh yeah, we got spotted, we got special treatment, we got whatever. No, not this time. We got treated like everybody else. And that actually was pretty good. And when you talk about you're there for a good time, I had a frozen watermelon margarita that I think was the normal size. Like I didn't get a big one.
It was the normal size.
And it was roughly as big as my face.
Well, I think the margarita was as big as your face, and so was the slice of watermelon, somehow
Yes, the garnish.
precariously balanced onto the glass, was also the size of your face.
Yes, comically large watermelon garnish. I think I got a DM from someone that was like, "Oh, was it sweet?" Yeah, yes, of course it was sweet. It's a watermelon
Yes.
margarita.
What do you, yeah.
Yes, of course. But with so much spice, like from the aguachile, from the salsa in the mojito, it all kind of balances out. It all works. It was a table next to us that had like one of those beer towers,
Oh,
right? Like,
that was like 4 feet tall.
yeah. It would not have been appropriate for us, considering only two of the three people at the table drink beer. But I would love to be a group of like six or eight guys with a couple of those mojitos on the table. We saw the grilled octopus platter at another table, and then like one of those towers of just Dos Equis or whatever. That'd be a great time.
You get like 3 dozen char-grilled oysters, you know,
Yeah.
pass those around.
The only dish that missed is we splurged a little bit on a whole fried snapper, and for me it was a little bit overcooked. Like it had dried out, and it also had a little bit of a fishy taste. So I feel bad because I think that was the most expensive, or well, that or the mojitote were like the most expensive things we ordered, and we barely ate it because it wasn't good.
Yeah, I get the feeling that maybe that isn't something that's often ordered there, because if you look around at all the tables, it was a lot of the molcajetes, it was fajitas, it was aguachiles, oysters. Like there's a lot of dishes on the menu where everyone's just like, I feel like there's, you know what, 12, 24, 36 pages of menu, and everyone is like on the first page and the last page, like
Yeah,
skip
they
the
want the
middle.
appetizers and they want the parrilladas and the mojitos, and everything in the middle is kind of optional.
Yeah, you're kind of they're there. Maybe just go to the other page, though.
Yeah, look around, see what everybody else is ordering, and do that. Because the stuff that everybody's getting is good. And, I had no problem, 45 minutes in traffic on a Friday night, like it was fine. Like that's what the watermelon margarita is for. I was glad we did that.
Exactly. Yes. And it was a good place. It wasn't serious. It wasn't, I don't know, hokey. It's just like a good, kind of party vibe place, which
Yeah.
is wonderful on a Friday night.
And it's kind of nice to have like, on that Mexican Tex-Mex spectrum, like there wasn't queso, we didn't do cheese enchiladas, like like they have fajitas and stuff, but like it's not as classically Tex-Mex, certainly as Los Cucos or like any of those other places. And I liked having the seafood. It felt a little lighter, a little fresher, than like some of my typical Tex-Mex adventures. So yes, props to Vita Mariscos for a very satisfying dinner. All right. And then the real reason that we drove to Cyprus, as people will recall on the dessert draft, when it came time to select a frozen, you chose Connie's Frozen Custard, a Cyprus institution. So I'm just going to clear out and let you say something nice about Connie's, and then I'll chime in.
Connie's Frozen Custard is my childhood. I mean, literally, this place is in a strip center that is next to the neighborhood I grew up in and lived in for the first 16 years of my life. So it's like firmly ensconced in the nostalgia of my childhood. It is always and has always been insanely busy. I mean, we went on Friday. We were there at what, 8:30? And there was probably like 12 cars in the to-go line, 12 people in front of us in line, all the benches out front were completely full. And it's just this tiny little shack at the corner of this strip center parking lot. And they make their own custard, and they have chocolate, and they have vanilla, and they have a bunch of stuff to mix in, and that's it. And it is definitely the most poppin' ice cream spot in Cyprus, I would gather. And
it has been for what, like 30 years or something? 20,
I think it's 25 years. I think it opened in the year 2000. So yeah, 25 years it's been sitting at the corner of this parking lot. And it's popular with everyone. I mean, we saw little kids, adults that were just there getting their own ice cream, just like us, teenagers, you know. And I think it's interesting because it's not what you think of as a traditional ice cream place, which I think is maybe more familiar here in Houston, where you have like a scoop shop, or you go to a snow cone place, you know, or you get a Dairy Queen soft serve, whatever. So for it to be that popular and it just be a place where you're like, I want vanilla, I want chocolate, and I want like peanuts and strawberry mixed in, it's like, that's it, you know? And
And we should say it's frozen custard,
yes,
which is a little richer, a little denser than ice cream. It has egg yolks in the mix, whereas typically ice cream does not. So it's just like a richer, creamier, fattier kind of flavor. And that chocolate and that vanilla are like a very good platform for concretes, which is basically like the generic term for a blizzard, right? Where you have ice cream blended with, for me, it was strawberries and M&Ms. I don't remember. What did you get? You got vanilla with something.
I always get vanilla with strawberry. Yeah.
And then, but like you could do pretzels, you could do different candies.
There's
you could
hot
do
fudge.
A whole bunch of different syrups, right? Hot fudge, butterscotch, raspberry, all of those kind of stuff. And so you can get pretty baroque with it, or you can just get scoops and cones and eat it like regular ice cream and you're all good. But very delicious. And then again, I will say, you know, the going home, right, was obviously like it was almost an hour to get to Vita Mariscos from my house in Third Ward. But the going home was only like 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, in no traffic, not a lot of traffic inbound on 290 at 9 o'clock at night on a Friday, you know, like very simple drive.
Yeah.
And so could I be tempted to blast off on a lazy like Saturday or Sunday afternoon to go to Connie's for ice cream? Oh, 100% I could. And I completely understand why you drafted this in the dessert draft. Not that I had any doubts that it would be anything other than excellent, but having been there, it's like, yeah, I mean, I live like a couple of miles from a Dairy Queen and I could just go to a Blizzard, but there is something really fun about this locally owned institution that's just a community gathering place with really killer frozen custard.
Yeah, I mean, you think about places that are like famous frozen custard places, like there's Ted Drew's, which is in St. Louis, which is like this famous old, you know, walk-up window frozen custard place, or there's, I believe it's called Susie's, that's in Austin, near Barton Springs, that used to be like cash only. And I think it's just like something about just a basic frozen custard, vanilla, chocolate, that's so good. And maybe it's the richness and how creamy it is, but I think also it's like even for how busy it was, you get your ice cream immediately. Like they literally, like I think we were barely done ordering and they were like, here's all your stuff. And I'm like, okay. So it's fast and it's just so good. And any day it's delicious to me. And it's definitely an indulgent treat. But if you love ice cream like I do, this is like the ultimate ice cream, I think.
Yeah, and I would say if you're a Houstonian, anywhere within like decent range of Cypress, anywhere from sort of Katy to Tomball, certainly like Garden Oaks and Oak Forest, like you're not that far from this place. And if you love ice cream, like you have got like I don't know how I had gone my life as a Houstonian without being aware of this. And when I shared it with a friend of mine, she was like, "Oh, I've been going there for years. Why didn't you tell me?" Like,
I'm so sorry.
why, like, no, it's a mutual friend of ours. Like, why wasn't I informed? So this is my part to make the world a little better place. If you are not familiar with this and you love ice cream, you got to go to Connie's.
Well, I don't think Cyprus has many secrets, okay? There's not a lot going on out here. As
Well,
someone who
but like as a snobby interloper, we don't go to Cyprus because there's not a lot going on out there, right? There's not some destination barbecue place or whatever, drawing people to Cyprus where we would inevitably have gotten to Connie's. So this is your kick in the pants to go to Connie's.
Yeah, there's really, as someone who grew up in Cyprus, lived their whole life here, and then is now back here living out here again, which is an interesting turn. There really isn't a lot going on in Cyprus. I mean, there's a few things. There's a lot of great dive bars, I will say. Dive bars out here in Cyprus, killer. But as far as really high quality restaurants, I think there are definitely a lot of great Vietnamese restaurants. There's like little things like that, like grab and go places. I think, I don't know if you've seen his recently viral videos with that gentleman Kent who's been dining out in Cyprus. Older, oh, I gotta share this guy's videos with you. He's an older gentleman who's, I think, the most naive but kind person who keeps going to like small restaurants. He went to a Thai food place, never tried Thai food. So he's out here, he's discovering things. I'm watching what he's doing. But I think like as far as what's really cool and happening out in Cyprus, I can't really tell you. But I do know that Connie's frozen custard is cold and it's delicious. So that's if there's a reason you need to be out here somehow, I would go
Kids
there.
sports tournaments, right? This was, all
Sure.
that kind of stuff.
Kids sports tournaments, maybe your dentist is still out here. I don't know.
Right. Maybe grandma's out in Cyprus or whatever. Like, take grandma to Connie's frozen custard. All right. Chelsea, I'm gonna say that does it for the restaurants of the week. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Eric. I'll see you next time.
Absolutely. All right, that's it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. Join me on Thursday when my guests will be Ryan LaShane and Bobby Matos from State of Grace.